Leroy, you have a song for us this morning?
This morning's reading is from Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it.
Amen. Thank you, Wayne. Good morning. Good morning. Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord? And it truly is a blessing to have Bernice back with us. And Bernice, I want to apologize for never getting out there to see you. The one time I came, you were gone. But I had the two revivals that we were planning and studying for, and the three times a week we meet for Bible study, and then the starter went out on my tractor, and my batteries are dead in my golf cart, so... That's why I never made it out there. Oh, but God is good. All the time. You know, this is continuing on in the Sermon on the Mount. Now, you know, some of you, think that 15, 20 minutes is too long of a sermon. Can you imagine being there on the, while Jesus was on the hillside on the mount doing all of these chapters? I mean, that must have taken an hour or two or three. Golly. There's times in the Bible when people stood, it says, from morning till noon while the scripture was being read. And somehow we think that sermons that are 15 or 20 minutes are too long. We have to be careful with that. Of course, this would have been fascinating to the people too. But you've heard it so many times now, you're familiar with it. Enter through the narrow gate. It doesn't say enter through the wide gate. It says enter through the narrow gate. You know, when you stop and think about this, it kind of goes against the way that we normally think. You think of going on a trip somewhere, right? You usually want to take the interstate. Why? Because it's bigger, it's faster, it's wider. More cars can get on it, and you can get there quicker than taking the old roads and the scenic route. Although we do have some people in here that do that. Freddie? And, you know, that's nice too. But when you think about it, though, if you want to get someplace and you want to get there in a hurry, you usually take the interstate, the bigger way, the wider way, the easy way. It's, you know, it's a straighter shot, speed limit's faster. And here, though, the way that God tells us to go is through the narrow way, through the way that's harder, through the way that that is not the easy flow. You're just going with everybody else down the path because, you know, there's those who tell you all paths lead to the same place. Wrong again. Even this passage of scripture points that out. He talks about a gate and a road, you know, and he says that there is a wide road and a wide gate, but that leads to destruction. But narrow is the way. Now, what does he mean? Does he mean there's actually just a little space to get in? No, what he's talking about is that we are, as Christians, limited to following what this word teaches us. If this says that it's right, we are to do it. If this says it is wrong, we are not to do it. That is the only way that we will ever get to heaven. Traveling that narrow way instead of listening to the philosophy of the day, instead of listening to and being led by Hollywood and the media, they would have us believe lots of things that go against what God's word teaches. They would have us to accept all kinds of lifestyles, alternatives that God says is sinful. God says it's wrong. And so those things are not to be for us. Why? Because we're following this narrow path. The path that is lit up for us through the Word of God. You know, I can remember at one time, I was in a Baptist church then, and the common belief of that church and that time and that teaching was that if you go into a restaurant that serves alcohol, you're going to hell. And I believed that. I mean, that's what I was taught. I don't believe it anymore. I can go to a restaurant that serves alcohol and not have any of it, okay? And, you know, there are so many things that people make issues out of where there shouldn't be an issue. And then there are things that should be an issue that they don't even notice. They just slide right past that. And we have to be careful. We should know what God's word is, because in the word of God is where we find that narrow road. And at the end of that is that narrow gate. And that's where we're headed, down that narrow path by following Jesus. We're following in the footsteps of our Savior, folks. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Jesus is the one who made the path. He came and cut that path in the wilderness, in the desert where everything was barren and dead and dry, and he brought life to that and made a path through there for us to follow. You know, there's the story that they used to tell about the bridge builder, and you know, he built the bridge, and somebody asked him why, and he said he didn't build it for himself but for those following, so that they too could come across. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus built a bridge and he made a path for us so that we can come to be with him in eternity, forever and ever and ever. Is there anybody in here besides me that wants to go see Jesus? You want to go live with Jesus forever? Okay, I got some Kool-Aid. No, just kidding. But, you know, he made this way for us. He made this way. And then it's all documented. It's all documented in God's word for us so that we know what path to take, so that we know how to go down that narrow road. God would never tell us that, you know, I want you to do something. What are y'all thinking right now? Exactly. God doesn't do that to us. God doesn't say, I want you to do something and then not tell you what it is. He doesn't tell you there's a way and then not tell you what that way is. He has laid it out very clearly for all of us right here in his word. It is all documented, but we have to take the time to read it. We have to take the time to study it. We have to take the time to pray and meditate over it and let the Holy Spirit guide us into all truth, which is exactly what his word says. If you want to walk down this narrow path and you want to go through that narrow gate that will lead you to heaven, then you must know God's word, and you must stay in God's word, and God's word must stay in you. That's the tough part. You know, there's lots of people. The devil knows the scriptures. He can quote them and misquote them. He can make you believe lies if you're not careful and you don't know the scripture. He can make you believe a lie. But when you know the scripture, that's exactly what Satan did when he tempted Christ in the wilderness. He took the scripture out of context, and Jesus turned right around and took the same scripture and put it in context and told him how wrong he was. That's the way that we become victorious in our Christian life over Satan and over sin, is by knowing the word of God and getting it into us. Not just knowing it and being able to spout it off so that we can tell other people how wrong they are, but have it in our heart. Let it become a part of us so that we live what the scripture teaches. You practice what you preach. That's not always easy to do, folks. There are times when there are temptations or even situations where it's hard sometimes to know what's the right thing. At least that's what the devil wants us to think. But when it really comes down to it, God's word makes things very clear if we know what it says. There are situations that the world would offer you that the devil would say, you know, you could make this choice or you could make that choice, and either one be just as good as the other. But the choices he offers rarely have anything to do with what this is. Rarely. I mean, he may mention this. He may mention this, but again, he takes it out of context. He misinterprets it. So we have to know what God wants from us. We have to know what God means by what's written in his word. And the only way to know that is to dig into God's word, to study it, to get to know the authors, the circumstances that they were in when they wrote the text that they have written, and then meditate on it, ask God to guide us and to help us. And folks, if we do that, rarely will you ever go wrong. You will be on that narrow road. You will be on that narrow path. And you will see one day that narrow gate that will take you across the river into the Holy Land. It will take you into the presence of God. And I don't mean you have to wait for that, folks. When we really get into God's word, when we are really meditating and studying and praying, we're in the presence of God. Right then, right there, he is there with us. He wants to be. He wants to show us what he wants from us. He wants to show us the blessings that he has for us. He wants us to know how much he loves us. He wants us to be the way that he was when he was here. And it says that Jesus went around doing good and healing all the sick. Oh, but we can't do that. We know somebody who can, though, don't we? I want to ask you a question. I don't want anybody to answer out loud, but when you hear about somebody's illness, do you really take the time to pray for them and for their healing? Do you go home? Does it ever break your heart when you hear about somebody that's lost? Somebody that's out there on the main thoroughfare, on the wide road, the wide path. Somebody that's out there that's just following along blindly what Hollywood tells them, what the media tells them, what Satan tells them. They're just walking along and they think everything's perfectly all right. Does your heart ever break for those people? Do you weep? Sometimes do you cry yourself to sleep while you're praying for those that are lost? When's the last time you experienced that, folks? When's the last time that you spent more than 15 or 20 minutes in prayer time? If we're truly going to walk on the narrow path that takes us right in the footsteps of Jesus, I don't know. I'm assuming your Bible says the same thing mine does. But it teaches that Jesus used to go off and pray a lot by himself. He had a prayer closet, folks. It might have been on a mountain. It might have been somewhere else. But he had a prayer closet. If God the Son prayed to God the Father, and he's our example, and he went off sometimes for hours, they didn't see him. One of the most important decisions that Jesus ever made was when he was choosing his disciples. And the Bible says that right before then, he went off by himself and prayed. When he came back, he knew who he was going to choose. Why? Because he had guidance from the Father. Folks, the Holy Spirit works in us the same as he worked in Jesus Christ. Jesus was fully God, but he was also fully man. And while he was here on the earth, he limited himself to being like one of us. But the Holy Spirit gave him the ability to do the things that he did. And that same Holy Spirit, that same resurrection power, lives in you and lives in me. And that authority that was given by Christ to us is authority over all of the demons of hell. That's how we can walk the narrow path, folks. God has made it possible for us to be able to walk where he walked so that we can be blessed and be with him in eternity. You know, I remember times in my life when I never really thought about heaven. I didn't. I just never. I mean, of course, when you're younger, you think you're, you know, pretty much invincible and you're never going to die. So why would you think about heaven? you don't stop to think about death at all. But I remember one time as a teenager, and I was at a church. It was a revival meeting in the Baptist way. And this Baptist preacher was preaching his heart out. And he was trying his best to get us young people to pay attention and to come to Christ. And there were two boys who had come in late. I didn't know who they were. I don't know if anybody knew who they were, but they came in, they were riding motorcycles, and they sat down and they were laughing and giggling and cutting up during the service, and the preacher kept pointing at them and directing comments directly to them about, you better wake up, you better come to Christ. You don't know how much time you have left. Those boys left that meeting and died that night. Without Christ. That were in wrecks on that motorcycle. Got hit head on. And when that preacher heard that, folks, he broke down and cried like a baby. And he said, I knew they needed Christ. And I tried my best to convince them. But they were rebellious. They weren't interested. He said, I bet they regret it now. Folks, we don't know how much time we've got. We know that the word says there's a narrow path for us to follow to get to the place where we all say we want to go, to be with the Lord forever. He's the way, the truth, and the life. If you have a need this morning, if you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. If you have wandered away from God, if you got off of the narrow path onto the wide path, you want to get back on that path, then come. Let's pray. And I'm talking about, if somebody comes forward, all you men, all you women, anybody who wants to pray, come forward and pray with us. This is a family thing. It's not just a preacher thing. It's not just a preacher and elder and deacon thing. It's a family thing, and we're a family, as Bob said at the start of this thing. So let's, you know, the old saying, the family that prays together stays together. A lot of truth to that. So if you have a need, just mind the Lord and come as we sing.